Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Kachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to kachava.com and use code SHAKE. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's kachava.com, code SHAKE. Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Kachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans. Quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Whether you're craving that coffee taste to kickstart your morning ritual or as a nutrient-packed reward to round out your afternoon, Kachava keeps you fueled and satisfied wherever your day takes you. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. And for the times you feel like switching it up, you've got 7 flavors to choose from, all with the highest quality ingredients. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to kachava.com and use code SHAKE. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's kachava.com, code SHAKE.
What's a day in the life of a human being, maybe 10 years from now?
It's a bit like asking an ant that's about to become a human what it thinks it's going to do with human levels of intelligence and understanding of the world. It'd be like, I guess I can get a lot of mud into the... There's no real point planning anything for 10 years' time because the decision-making in 10 years' time is not going to be a very, very different person in a very different place to anything we're doing right now. You've got quantum computation coming, which is going to... like be a heaven and earth difference in computer power, chips in the brain coming, which means at some point we'll have the opportunity to radically upgrade ourselves. Gene editing, lab sustained brains that are able to enter much deeper conscious states. And it could be from there we can stretch across time in ways that are currently inconceivable and bring those who've ever lived back in. Maybe technology is God's way of bridging the gap. In other words, built into the natural world is the ability to access things that we currently consider supernatural.
Okay, everyone, I'm thrilled to be joined in Israel by a JTV regular and favorite, Rabbi Daniel Rowe, who is one of the senior heads at Aish Global, based in Jerusalem. If you haven't been there, by the way, it's the most incredible building, literally right next to, looking across the Western Wall, the Kotel, and that's where Rabbi Rowe is speaking to us from right now. Rabbi, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to be back with you.
So I saw you in, you had very graciously, and you and your wife and family graciously having you for a Friday night the end of last year, and we were having a bit of a conversation about AI, technology, and how this fits into the messianic vision from a Jewish perspective, as one does on a Friday night, the kind of conversation someone has. But it was absolutely fascinating. I thought to myself, we've got to have this conversation on air and unpack it in a bit more detail, because before we get into the Jewish vision of, you know, what the prophets told us of the world that will unfold when we have the messianic era, and before we talk about how that just interlays with technology, let's just first just talk about AI itself and technology and how the world is changing so fast and how the world could look so different, just so we can build that as a foundation. Can you just talk to us about that, because I know that's definitely an interest of yours?
Yeah, it's actually very funny. A relative of mine recently said they were remembering a conversation we had about 10 years ago at a Shabbos table where everybody said I was crazy.
What were you saying?
Everything you said then came true.
Really?
I love studying technology and seeing where things might go. So I think it's very clear that the next 25 to 30 years are going to involve as many revolutions, at least, as the last few thousand. In other words, the gap between us today and where we're going to be in 25 to 30 years time is about as big as the gap between cavemen or like pre-farming hunter-gatherers and us today. It's reasonable to say something like that, which sounds crazy, but it's just that, okay, so AI is obviously now shocking the world, or has shocked the world in the last 4 or 5 years in just how incredibly intelligent it is. And we understand that we're right at the beginning, The world in 5 years' time is going to look far more intelligent than now. But you've also got loads of other converging technologies. You've got quantum computation coming, which is going to like be a heaven and earth difference in computer power. You've got chips in the brain coming, which means at some point we'll have the opportunity to radically upgrade ourselves. You've got a lot of stuff hitting, gene editing. I mean, there's just so much that is already on the horizon of technology that, like I said, there's no real point planning anything for 10 years' time, because the decision-making in 10 years' time is not going to be a very, very different person in a very different place to anything we're doing right now.
And how do you, just to give, because some of this can feel a bit theoretical for people, just can you maybe take us through what's a day in the life of a human being, maybe 10 years from now, 20 years from now, if what, you know, if AI continues to bear its potential?
Well, there's several problems doing that. The first is, imagine 20 years ago predicting what day in the life would be today. Like, yeah. 20 years ago, you know, before social media, before, you know, like I try to tell people what it was like growing up in a world where you drove in a car with a map, like a physical map. You got stuck in a traffic jam, and if you were late for a meeting, you didn't have a mobile phone to call anybody. If you were lucky, you could get out and get the phone box, or where 70 or 80% of an office space was files. Or where, I remember as a kid when the Times of England could literally, together with Mensa, put a quiz on the back page and had like 20 questions, and you had about 5 weeks to get in a team and submit the answers.
Wow.
Like, you know, just a different universe. So trying to predict 10, 20 years' time, a day in the life of, I think, is not doable. But I'll give you one tiny example of what could be so enormous. So obviously, there's the thing a lot of people are talking about now called AGI, artificial general intelligence, when machines might become better than us at everything, right? So long as there's just 1,000th that we do better than them, we can all move into that space. Just like after the Industrial Revolution, we all moved into the 1,000th that machines couldn't do, which included being lawyers and doctors and accountants and psychotherapists. We discovered all sorts of things that we couldn't do before, and we suddenly can fill that space. But once a machine can do everything better than us, then we kind of become redundant, right? That's one option for how things could be. And that's scary to lots of people. It's not actually scary to us as Jewish people, because we rehearse for that every single week. We have a Shabbos, meaning that we understand there's a day in the week when we focus on everything that's meaningful except for our productivity, yeah. Right? And that's days we spend. We now have to spend lots of time with family, lots of time with God, lots of time with our own spiritual development. But that's a small part of what's coming, because I think the chips in the brain is going to be the biggest, the most significant part of what's coming, which is to say the option for the human not to kind of watch this AI get ahead of us, but actually join with it. And we become the consciousness that powers this technology. But that means that the experience of a conscious human in 10 or 20 years' time might be to have the knowledge of the entire internet right now, or whatever bits we want to have of it. But much, much more. It might be a scientific knowledge. Like, it won't be that we have to go to a scientist to know the laws of physics or a doctor to know medicine. We'll have it all inside us. And as these things are then developing the next waves of technology, we're at the cutting edge of all that. So we're talking about a level of knowledge, a level of wisdom, a level possibly being able to rewire our own brains that's just beyond anything we can currently conceive of. And that will be the us making the decisions at that particular point. So asking to think what a day in the life of something that intelligent, it's a bit like asking an ant that's about to become a human what it thinks it's going to do with human levels of intelligence and understanding of the world. It'd be like, I guess I can get a lot of mud into the, you know, like, right? The answer is, no, you're not going to be living like that. So you can't predict what it'll be like.
Wow. So, I mean, look, I mean, there are obviously some things that we know are going to get resolved in the world. But I guess the question is, you know, precisely as you say, what are the options? What are going to be the possibilities? And that's something that we haven't even began to scratch the surface on. You suggested in our conversation that Friday night that, and let's now move into a bit of more of a Jewish messianic vision space. You suggested that it could be that God, his preference is always to operate within the natural world. But of course, the messianic vision is going to be a transformed world. And you said perhaps what we may see happen is technology would almost become the vessel that humanity had partnered with God in creating, but then it would become the vessel through which God could perform these incredible miracles, right? Can you just elaborate a bit on that?
So this idea, I remember seeing it a long time ago, maybe 20 years ago. There was a genius, a polymath called Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan. I think at one point he was listed on the who's who of young American physicists. And then he became a Baal Teshuva, became an Orthodox Jew, and just became this genius. Like he'd read so much. If you just look at the footnotes of the works and books that he wrote, and he wrote a ton of books and then died, I think, in his very early 40s. So in a very short space of time, he'd covered so many areas with such a vast knowledge. And he speculated that technology might be the bridge between the two approaches to the messianic era world to come prophecies. One is they're all natural. Maimonides goes with that view. It's Shmuel in the Gemara says, it seems they'll all be natural. And the other is we clearly have seeming supernatural prophecies. And Rabbi Kaplan said maybe technology is God's way of bridging the gap. In other words, built into the natural world is the ability to access things that we currently consider supernatural. Just like the Purim story is the greatest revelation of God because it only uses the natural world and it suddenly reveals to us that the natural world's not what we thought it was. It's something else. It's really revealing the hand of God all the time. So too, the fact, look, think what a smartphone is, right? Anybody watching this now, the vast majority are going to be watching on smartphones. The rest are going to be watching on screens. Every piece of that smartphone or screen was once sitting inside the mud of planet Earth. It's a metal. So we have this intelligent mud. You just take mud and minerals and metals in the ground, reconfigure them, capture what turns out to have been electromagnetic radiation sitting in the sky, take another bunch of metals and send them up to space, and boom, we've got this. So we have this like intelligent mud and metals sitting in planet Earth. So now imagine what else is waiting for us. Now we think about all these prophecies, whether they're written in the rabbinic texts as oral traditions, whether they're explicit in the prophets. Let me give a very simple example. You've got the Talmud telling us that in the future, pork will become kosher, right? Now, obviously that's a metaphor for the idea that eventually come a time when things that are forbidden are somehow permitted. But it can also come literally true. We are now on the edge of having laboratory produced meat that doesn't even come from the original animal, where you can replicate it perfectly and it looks exactly the same and it's the same materials as would come if it was cooked exactly from then, and it will be kosher. Now, whether the rabbis will forbid it for some reason, fine, but it's biblically speaking going to be kosher meat. So we know that's going to literally happen. But then you think like this, we also have visions like the wolf will lie down with the lamb. Of course, that's a metaphor in Isaiah chapter 11. Of course, it's telling us there's going to be world peace and the powerful will lie down with the non-powerful. None shall make them afraid, obviously. But it can also come literally true. Because once we can produce lab-produced meat, humans are not going to want to kill animals anymore. And once we stop killing animals, we're going to get very bothered by the fact that animals kill animals. And whether it's 100 years in the future or 10 years in the future, wherever it is, we're going to have the technology to stop them killing each other, right? We might be able to have every single animal have an intravenous patch and fly a drone across every day and feed them. But so these are just tiny examples. Of course, we can go further and further and further. We start to talk about the world to come as being like in the Garden of Eden, where all of humanity was one in a single shared consciousness. And you suddenly think, how far away is that? How far away would it be for super brains to be able to produce shared consciousness? And maybe the whole Jewish people and the whole of mankind can start to have a shared consciousness. Now, obviously, if you do, right, and you want to be, your awareness of God is going to be so vast that people who lived anti-God lives won't be able to sustain themselves with that revelation. And people who lived selfish lives won't be able to live with others probably. So we can see who could make it to the world to come. Now, of course, all this is speculative, but I'm just giving a few glimpses of how these could easily be vessels for all the things the prophets have said are going to happen.
And just on the topic of shared consciousness, there's a lot of talk about this idea of reincarnation, that our souls can live many lives, but then we're resurrected at the end of days. This whole concept of shared consciousness and this idea that if we've had many lives, but each of our bodies are resurrected, how will that work? Does that fit into that at all?
So it's amazing. There's a debate between Maimonides and those who follow his view and others. Not Maimonides, the most famous, but a long line of thinkers who interpret the text as saying the world to come is not physical. And Nachmanides and many other thinkers who interpret the texts as saying actually the world is physical and includes the world to come and the resurrection of the dead. And you start to see how all this could be easily true, right? Meaning they could both be true, because here we are using physical bodies that powering brains. Eventually you could even have some kind of, I don't know, lab sustained brains that are able to enter much deeper conscious states. And it could be from there we can stretch across time in ways that are currently inconceivable and bring those who've ever lived back in. Or it could be we'll discover that we're all much more interconnected than we think we are. The point is that right now it's not even a horizon technology to be able to access the dead. Right now a horizon technology is being able to resurrect species. Right. But that can easily, it's no longer inconceivable that within 20, 30, 40 years, we'll have some access to past consciousnesses in the way that we can't currently imagine.
Now, you asked, can you give us a sense of like, how would that possibly work? How could technology help us to access beings that are no longer conscious anymore?
So right now, we can only travel through time in a particular way. Right now, our tools to navigate the laws of space, time and physics only allow us to navigate things that are here in this particular temporal coordinate. But if we could access deeper laws of physics, we might be able to make contact with, access, move across realms that include what we currently call past or other temporal dimensions. So as long as you could do that, then of course you can bring them back. We can't currently do that. Like, there's lots of things we can, right? Once upon a time, you could never tinker with an atom below the size of what you could see, but now we've got tools to do that. Right? Once upon a time, you could never travel against gravity, but now we can do that. So there's lots of things we can now do because we have a deeper understanding of the laws of physics that we couldn't do given our limited physics. So given that we're likely to make more breakthroughs in the incoming century than all of history till now, all sorts of things might become possible that aren't currently possible.
Wow. Absolutely fascinating, and I really think it's important that we humble ourselves and realize that we are like that ant, and we just don't know that, you know, the possibilities. And it's easy to scoff and think, oh, that's ridiculous, of course. But you know, people 100 years ago would be scoffing if we told them what we could do now. Not even. You touched on the fact that we once a week prepare ourselves for this Sabbath-like state where there's no longer the need for productive work. So is that going to be the case?
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Kachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to kachava.com and use code SHAKE. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's kachava.com, code SHAKE.
From a Jewish vision of the Messianic era, that there will be no longer be productive work?
So there's different phases we refer to. The Messianic era is the preparatory phase. That's when there's a leader in Israel who can integrate the Jewish people, build the house of God, and start to bring all the nations towards God. Then the world to come is the world that we refer to as Yom Shekulo Shabbat, the day that is completely Shabbos, the day that is completely Shabbat, right? We pray for it. In the grace after meals, the blessings after the meal on Shabbat, we add that for Arachamani and Chalene, may God give us Yom Shekulo Shabbos, the day that is going to be completely a Shabbos state, however you pronounce it, right? L'chai Olamim, forever. The 7 days of creation, we never really got to the seventh day. Man sins on the sixth day, leaves the Garden of Eden. But obviously the whole goal of the world is to get back there and get to the seventh day. And so the answer is yes, it's the day when you no longer have to produce. Now, right now, given the way our brains work now and our bodies work now, the idea of being a non-working is like no self-esteem, no productivity, being bored. But if you can get to a place of real closeness to God, again, that's the ant. The ant needs to get mud to feel good, right? When you become a human, you don't need to. So I think, look, I want to say all this is obviously speculative. I'm not saying it's exactly grounded in sources, but you can easily see how this can be what the sources have been talking about. Every Rosh Hashanah, every Jewish New Year, we pray for God to bring the whole world together as one, literally, right? Mm. And so, yes, the day when there's no longer work to do, we've done the work of history, we've now arrived in a place of intense goodness, intense God consciousness, and our consciousness is shifted to levels way beyond where it currently is.
Wow, really fascinating. And so in the Messianic era, this is before we get to the world to come, in this transition period. But this is a period where we no longer, let's say technology is already far more developed, and you don't have hunger and war and illness, and we don't have an evil inclination. So what's productivity going to look like then?
So it all depends when these things happen. Maimonides tells us at the end of the Laws of Kings that we don't really know exactly what the prophecies mean until they've come. We know the words that you're saying. We know this will happen. We don't know exactly how it's going to happen or what phase it's going to happen. I'll give you a small example, right? I was invited a few years ago to an interfaith conference in Windsor Castle discussing AI and faith. And about 95% of the conference that everyone presenting in it were talking about how to try and put brakes on technology, which I think is morally a fair thing to advocate for. But I spoke to people at the time and I said, however much we want that to be the case, the Chinese Communist Party is going full steam ahead with technology, which means the United States military and NATO militaries are going to have to also go full steam ahead with technology. So the likelihood we're going to be able to get brakes on is extremely small. So we should be thinking about something different here. And I think where faith communities and where people are thinking morally and ethically about this should come in. Yes, it's about how can you kind of try to put some brakes on, but AI is going to escape us sooner or later, unless again, we wire ourselves into it. But what we can do is visualize what would we like humanity to be more like if we have the technological tools to get there, right? So one of the biggest problems we have two major problems. One is technology might race ahead of us. Chips in the brain will probably solve that. But the other great fear is the most dangerous thing on planet Earth at the moment is humans. Our egos, our fears, our anger, our tribalism, our self-centeredness, all of these things make us extremely dangerous, right? Our relationships are endangered by laziness, lusts, selfishness, all different things. So we've got all these vices that sit inside us and torture us and torture the world all the time. Humans are suffering because we all have these things. We're suffering because we have them. Now, we have no solution during the primary phase of history except intense individual work on ourselves, intense connection to God. But none of that 100% cures us or the world from it. Yet what would happen if we could cure ourselves and the world from these things? So you might say it takes away free will. Okay, in the end, God may want to take away our free will, right? But right now, there's a lot of investment and a lot of motivation for technology companies and governments to be developing weapons. There's a lot of motivation to develop economic tools, but there isn't enormous amount of motivation to and there's a lot to develop motivation to develop medical tools. There isn't an enormous amount of motivation to develop better human tools. I say, imagine, first of all, that we could cure depression, right? As a brain goes into depression, it can be rewired to come out of depression. Imagine it can cure OCD. Imagine it can cure addiction. Would we not want to do that? Of course we would. But now imagine it can cure rage. Now, we don't yet know how to cure rage. And we also don't know that if you did dial down rage and rewire the neurons, that it wouldn't also come with other prices, like make you a doormat that gets walked over. But we need to start studying this, because if we could do it, who wouldn't want it? Who wouldn't want to be able to click something where that's it? Never again do you enter a state of rage, and never again do those around you enter rage, and never again do the other cars on the road enter rage, and never again does some guy in another terrorist somewhere enter rage, right? Who wouldn't want to dial down so you don't get addicted to pornography or alcohol or drugs or anything? Who wouldn't want to be able to think with more empathy? How much? What are the ranges that are good for us? Let's study this. But you do understand that we're entering a technology where we can become much greater human beings, the types we want to be, long before we even get to this point where God's presence is totally shining everywhere. And then we can still have disagreements. But do you know how different it would be if you had disagreements coming from a place of love and security and non-anger and wanting to hear out the other person, knowing that they also have love and security and all this? The world would be totally different. We'd be much more honest with one another. We'd work collaboratively on things. So this is, again, is all things that can be on the table very soon.
So when the Talmud says that in the Messianic era, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, is going to be slaughtered, you're saying that could happen through technology?
Absolutely.
Wow.
And wouldn't it be amazing? Like, again, we're like, but then where's your free will? Okay. But so we use the free will to get there. And not, like I said, I don't think everybody will be able to sustain themselves in the world to come. And that's something the rabbis told us forever. Not everyone has a portion of the world to come. It's very clear in the Torah and Bible. Not everyone gets there, but that'll be to do with how we lived a world ethically to get it to that place. And of course you can imagine that as technology grows stronger and stronger, lots and lots and lots of people are going to be spending more and more time stuck in virtual spaces and run away from the world and run into their little delusional realities. That kind of already happens, and it's going to happen more and more and more. And they won't make their place into the world to come. Self-centered people, or people who are ashamed of how they've lived, will have plenty of outlets to live in little bubbles till their bodies die, and that's it. But those of us who want to be part of something greater, I think we're about to, we have the opportunity to direct the future research, because it could be very hellish if we let the kind of untethered wild human right now get access to this, or we just let the machines run away from us. Who knows what damage it can do? But if we become part of it and use the process to perfect ourselves into the people we really want to be, wow, this could be beyond the dreams of everything we've dreamt from a messianic era.
So you don't see it as necessarily like when the sages prayed away their inclination towards prophecy, sorry, towards idolatry, and with that was the end of prophecy. They just prayed that away and that was removed. You think it's not necessarily just something that will sort of spiritually happen, be some kind of spiritual...
Of course it spiritually happens. What is... The whole world is spiritual, Ollie. This is the mistake we make. We often ask about spirituality in a physical world, but it's the wrong way around. We are physical beings in a spiritual world. We are animal beings enveloped in a spiritual world that we're blind to, but that spiritual world shapes destiny. Right. It shapes our deep drive for goodness. So all we're doing is revealing what we always wanted. But yes, some will run away from it and not want it. But... I'm sorry, I'm getting carried away with these. I may not be answering your questions.
No, that totally does. And I think that's a really great answer, that actually there is, we're creating a false distinction between physical and spiritual. And that was, you know, actually leads me to my next question, which that we have that famous vision that the world will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. Will we be more, just far more in tune and aware of the spiritual world of God, and how can you give us any sense of what that would look like or feel like?
Yeah, sure. So probably the best analogy we have for creation is us thinking things, right? Nachmanides says this when the Bible uses the verb God speaks, that's one aspect, because he's communicating with us. Even creation is God speaking, which means God is talking to us, but it's also God thinking, right? So we are the thoughts of God. Now imagine you close your eyes and you create a universe of beings. But from their perspective, if they were conscious, they wouldn't feel you. They would feel they're walking around in a physical space and they trip over and hurt themselves and it's got laws of physics. But you would be saying, if you could only open yourselves up more, you would feel me, your creator, everywhere. Right? And yes, I let you choose evil and let you mess up this world. But if you just could get out of that and get into a deeper space, you would feel me everywhere. Your consciousness would be radically shifted. Right? And that's really what's coming, I think, with or without technology, but you can see how this could be God's keys to unleashing the world. I remember what you asked before. You asked about the rabbis prayed away. The Talmud says they prayed away idolatry. And because we dulled from that spiritual level, we therefore lost prophecy. And the Talmud carries on and says they even tried to pray for a removal of sinful lust and nobody would be born that year. And that was true throughout history, because we live in the world of the tree of knowledge, or fusion of good and bad. You can't get rid of one without the other. But we know that the future will be that you can have the tree of knowledge of, the verse that says, don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and bad, you'll be able to punctuate it differently. Don't, right? You can eat from all the trees of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good, and the bad you don't eat from. In other words, we will find in the future a way to attain prophecy without a temptation towards self-worship and idolatry. We will find a way to switch off the lustful negative drives without losing the passionate love of marriage and children. We'll find ways to do all this, but we will have to be slightly different people in order to unlock the keys of what our soul is crying out for.
And do you anticipate Torah learning to look very different in a digital age? You know, right now we learn with books, we learn with rabbis and teachers talking to us, and I mean, one of the things I struggle to understand is this idea that the Gemara says that in the future the great stadiums that have been built will be used for learning Torah, and I thought if we think about it from a technology angle, what's the need for everyone to gather in a stadium?
Well, from a technology angle, sports stadiums are watching phones now. That's the biggest sports stadium in the world.
Right, right.
Someone to say we saw bits of it, like when sports stadiums get taken over for that every 7-year cycle when they finish the learning the Talmud, and you do see that physically coming true. So that's true. But sports stadiums today are screens, and those will become filled with the study of Torah. I think that's for sure true.
Wow.
So the studying change, of course, every time technology changes, studying of Torah changes. The best example is the printing press. It used to be that you had to study by memorizing Tanakh from the age of 5 till 10, memorizing the Hebrew Bible, then memorizing the basics of Talmud till the age of 15. And only very few people could do that. And then the printing press came along and suddenly access to knowledge spreads. And that's been true of the internet. And there's no doubt that's going to be true as technology increases. We also know that Torah exists on multiple levels. It exists externally as a technical law system of connecting, of the Jewish people at least connecting to God and attaining wisdom. But there's also a Torah level for the angels and a level that was there in the Garden of Eden. And no doubt, as we increase our spirituality and our consciousness, that we'll be tapping into much deeper and deeper and deeper levels of Torah. And humanity will be joining us on that journey, eating from the tree of life, getting closer to one another and closer to God.
And one of the questions that many have is, let's just talk about things geopolitically. So right now, of course, there's all kinds of tensions in the Middle East, lots of global hostility towards Israel. But in the future, and the messianic vision is that Israel is going to be exalted. Israel is going to be a light to the nations. The world's going to want to be running towards Israel to want to learn from it. Can you talk to us a bit about that vision? Then I want to get into a few of the other specifics about the geopolitics of it all.
So you've articulated that correctly. The prophets are very, very clear that's what's going to happen. Isaiah chapter 2 is extremely clear that all the nations are going to want to come. They'll say, let's go up to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. House of the Lord means the rebuilt temple, temple of the whole of mankind connecting to God. A nation will come together, and then they'll judge out all the conflicts. A nation will not lift up sword against nation. None shall they learn any more war. All of these are very, very clearly prophesied.
Before you go, you have to check out the trailer for our new documentary on Moshiach, the Jewish belief about the Messiah, what he will do, how the world will look after his coming, and why his arrival is close. And if you want to watch the full thing, just click the link below in the video description. For thousands of years, the Jewish people have carried a promise that history is not a random cycle, that suffering and darkness and exile are not the end of the story, that one day the world will be redeemed and the Messiah, the Moshiach in Hebrew, will come. But what does that actually mean? Who is Moshiach? When will he come? How will we know he's real? Why would God design a world that waits so long for redemption in the first place? And what will life feel like after he comes? With AI and machines beginning to replace work, maybe we're already catching a glimpse. But then what will we do with our days? The prophets spoke of that world long ago. In this groundbreaking JTV Plus documentary, we uncover the truth about the Jewish vision of the Messiah, who he is, why it matters, and why his coming could be closer than you think. Join us as we reveal the truth about history's most anticipated figure. To watch this JTV Plus documentary and access much more premium content, click on the link in the video description.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.